Now we present an encore presentation of Protect Your Assets with David Hollander.
So 2023 is over, and it was a pretty good year, but the stock market's winning streak after 9 straight weeks, think about that, 9 straight weeks of the S&P 500 finally took a breather, and we had some pullback last week. The Dow was off 0.6% for the week, S&P off 1.5%, NASDAQ down 3.2%, MSCI International off 1.5%. 10-year Treasury up a little bit, 0.2. That was due to the Fed and the job market data we just saw. So closed at 404 on Friday. Oil holding in there at $73.91 a barrel. And the just bond index off 1.1%. So people were asking what happened. Why did the market take off the other way this past week instead of continuing to go up? Well, really what happened is, if you think about it, we had a pretty good year for 23. The Dow was up year-to-date was up 16.2%. Think about this. In the fourth quarter, the Dow went up 13.1% in one quarter, most of that in November. The S&P 500 was up 11.7% in the fourth quarter, finished the year up 26.3%. NASDAQ finished the year up 44.7%. That's massive. And they saw a 13.8% gain just in the fourth quarter. Russell Small Cap. Here's the reason why I talk about diversification, having balanced portfolio, staying on top of it. This is all the things that we do here. Russell Small Cap Index. One quarter alone, up 14%. Their total return for the year was 16.9%. So think about that. I mean, you could have been in that all year and you got it all at the very end. If you weren't in it, you didn't get it. So that's the kind of reason why you just can't try and time the market. It doesn't work. So what happened? Well, I call it window dressing. You may have heard this before. This is where portfolio managers rebalance and trade their positions to realize gains, but they waited to do it. They waited to do it till this first week. And so that's what we saw, was a lot of that going on. And we saw indexes that are more defensive perform pretty well. Of course, when markets get nervous, money flows to those areas that are more conservative, like healthcare. We saw healthcare up 1.74%, while tech fell off, like I mentioned earlier, specifically 2.57%. One of the big reasons of that was Apple. Apple shares fell because Barclays said that the iPhone 15 wasn't doing so hot. And so they were worried about the future sales of that company and what it means to the price of the stock. And there you go. So as you think about 24, there's really two things you should focus on to see what's going to happen this year with the market. I got a question right before I walked in here. What do you think the market's going to do this year? Yeah, good question. Here you go. So I think the Fed, their interest rate decision ultimately and how they do it, and of course the data of the economy, those are going to be the two things that are going to affect the market performance this year. Let's start with the jobs market, because we had that on Friday. So the Goldilocks outcome continues, and the market wants to see where economic growth continues, that the job market's strong enough to support the economy to continue to grow and people to keep spending money, corporations to make some money, inflation to be moderating. That's all what the Fed wants to see happen. And so when you talk about the two forces of the Fed and the economy, those are the areas that we're going to need to be looking at. And so they're usually in tension with each other, because remember, as you raise rates, that usually brings down inflation. And that's exactly what happened in the 70s and 80s. And then they got it wrong, and then we had rampant inflation, as you remember, with gas prices and interest rates and mortgage and all that in the 80s, because they got it wrong. So right now, the Fed is trying to thread the needle to make sure that they bring both of those down in a respective way. So I think the latter will come from some softness in the economy. And so as rates stay higher for longer, that's going to ease consumer spending, which we're starting to see right now. And the path of household consumption will rest on the labor market. And so as we see wages start to level out, as we see employment numbers start to come down, then that's going to cause people to spend less money, which should bring the economy down. Despite last month's increase in hiring, I think the labor market's going to bend. I don't think it's going to break as we continue to move through this, as a slowdown in the pace of job gain, modest rise in unemployment happens. And I think this is corroborated when I look out there by the additional employment data we saw last week about job openings. Those are shrinking. And overall, I'm also seeing wages level out. So those are two areas that over the last couple of years have shown that inflation is coming under control. I expect that to continue, but I don't think we're going into hibernation. And that would be a full-on, full-blown recession. So I just don't see it coming right now, and I think that's good for the market overall. So when you look at the minutes from the Fed Reserve last week, they put those out there. This is from their meeting they had last week, and they said that they are ready to raise rates again if inflation comes back. And why is that? Well, because Powell is, he's a student of the 70s and 80s. He doesn't want to relive that again. He doesn't want to repeat showing he got it wrong or they got it wrong. So they said it right there in the notes. They acknowledge that further hikes could be required if inflation were to make a surprise turn higher, end quote. So I think the two primary elements to what the Fed's up to right now and what the market's going to do go hand in hand. So, and when I look at what markets have done in the past, give you some data here. If you consider the rate cuts of the past, June 90, 6 months prior to that cut, markets were up 3.1%. June 95, 95 and 98, a little skewed if you were investing like I was back then. You remember those were good times. June 95, 19.8% up. June 98, 17.7% up. In this history I looked at, there's only one down, December of 2000. Of course, that was a, we all know, 2000, 2008, down 8.7%. But June 07 up 7, and June 19 up 18.5. So overall, 6 months prior to the actual rate cut, markets did pretty well. So will that continue? Well, it really just depends. We'll see. The second element of the rate cut is where I think the consensus overall has just gotten too optimistic. So don't expect when the market realizes that maybe they got it wrong, some volatility. And so what do you do when there's volatility? Well, you take action. If you're rebalancing your portfolio right now, like then that's perhaps where you get into it. I had a question this past week. Well, is that should I do all that now one time? Well, no, I don't believe in that. I believe you have to dollar cost average in the markets. I think that you, if you're a longer term investor, you know, you got to be in it. Look at the example I just gave of the small caps. If you missed that last quarter, you missed basically most of that return. So if you weren't in it, you missed it. What are the resistance levels on the S&P 500? These are what you need to write down. So on the upside, we need to go through 4783 to get to the next level of 4818. Right now, we're at 4697. So we still got a bit ways to go up to get through that. I don't see that happen in near term. What's the support on the downside? 4555. And then the next one's 4496. So those are two pretty strong support levels. And again, not a lot of significant volatility there.
Investment advisory services are offered through Liberty Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. The strategies mentioned are not suitable for everyone. The information expressed does not consider your specific situation or objectives and may not be appropriate for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. To better understand the risk associated with investing and how it reacts to different market conditions, listeners should always consult with their qualified investment professionals, financial advisors, legal or tax specialists, and conduct their due diligence before making any financial decisions or taking any action. The legal information provided on the air is not intended to substitute for callers hiring their lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Liberty Group LLC paid for the following program, and the host's views and opinions do not represent those of the station or its ownership. California Life Agent number 048569.
Persons engaging the services of one affiliate of Liberty Group LLC companies should be aware that each company is operated separately. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.